Well, let's turn back to Genesis chapter 24. And we think of going back to Genesis 12, remember how God called Abraham to leave his country, Mesopotamia, to go to a land that he would show him, that land of Canaan. And remember how Abraham went in faith, taking his wife and his nephew Lot. And we remember how God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a son, Isaac. And we remember how the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son. And we remember Abraham's faith. He didn't waver, but in his heart he offered up his son to God. And now we come to the next mention of Isaac in the Bible, 3 years after the death of his mother Sarah. And now Isaac is to be married to a woman of God's choosing, thereby continuing God's covenantal blessings. So we're going to look at this chapter under three headings: a covenant, confirmation, and commitment. But first of all, covenant. We read there at the very beginning of the chapter, "Now Abram was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things." Abram may have felt that he was nearing the end of his life, although in fact he would live for a further 35 years. And the Lord had blessed him in every way, and later in the passage we read the words of Abram's servant. Remember, we read them together at verse 34, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male servants and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore him a son when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has." And we remember God's covenant of promises to Abram when he cried out for an heir. In chapter 15, we read at the beginning, "Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own heir will be your son. Look toward heaven and number the stars. So shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." So in order to fulfill the covenant promise of God, a wife had to be found or chosen for Isaac. And Abraham would have sought the Lord with regard to this. And he believed that this was God's time. And friends, whatever your situation is today, as we were saying in the prayer, you can ask God to direct you. For some it might be choosing the right partner for life. Important decisions. But we can commit them to the Lord. And Abraham called his most trusted servant, probably Eliezer, mentioned in chapter 15, the oldest of his household, who was in charge of all that he had. And Abraham asked his servant to place his hand under his thigh and take an oath in the name of the Lord, because this was done in accordance with ancient custom. And Eliezer promised that he would not take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites, where they now dwelt. Because Abraham feared that if Isaac chose a wife from a Canaanite background, a Canaanite woman, then he would be led into idolatry. Because hundreds of years later, remember, when the Israelites actually entered into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the Lord God himself commanded them regarding the very same Canaanites. The Lord says in Deuteronomy, "You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons and taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods." So that's why Abraham instructed his servant, "Go to my country Mesopotamia and to my kindred, my relatives, and take a wife for my son Isaac." Verse 4. Now it is almost 100 years since Abram had followed God's call on his life to leave his country. But notice he still recalls it home, and my people and my kindred go to my country. The blood is strong. And so it is with ourselves, and especially for many of us who have come back, like for myself, for example, just coming back to the islands or to the highlands, it just feels like coming home. I remember they were doing a survey in Mergarden shortly after we arrived there, and how people had settled there with the smelter and a large Polish community during and after the war. And they just did, and the Gaels who had settled, who had moved from the Highlands or the islands and other parts to settle and get work in the smelter. And in fact, a lot of people from Glasgow and Edinburgh and such like did the same. So the men who were doing the kind of survey and trying to get a sculpture to kind of incorporate all these things came and did an interview with myself about how the Gaelic community had settled. And he just said something like, so how does it feel for yourself, you know? And I said, well, it's a strange thing. I said, when we're going back to Uist for holidays to see my father, it feels like we're going home. And then when we're coming back to Roisin, it feels that we're going home, we're coming home. And I said something like, whichever way we're going home. And I was invited to the unveiling of the sculpture. And when they took the thing down, that was the thing that they incorporated at the very top. But whichever way we're going home. And that is so true for the Christian. We're going home. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And I remember, too, a lot of people gathered for Runrig's final concert in Stirling, at Stirling Castle, and met loads of Gaels and people from the islands here, and met people from Roisin. We were now in Stirling, met people from Uist, South Uist, North Uist, and different people from different places were saying, when are you coming home? The Roisin people, when are you coming home? The Uist people, when are you coming home? But for the Christian, we will all go home one day, and we will be there forever in our promised land, heaven itself. Now, notice how Eliezer was unsure if any young woman would be willing to leave her homeland to marry a complete stranger, verses 5 to 7. And he wondered if, in that respect, he could maybe take Isaac to Mesopotamia instead. But Abraham was adamant, "See to it that you do not take my son back there." Isaac, the son of promise, was to remain in the place of promise, the promised land. And Abraham trusted the Lord to sort it out. "He will send his angel before you." But to reassure the servant, he said, "But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there." And the servant took the oath. So that's covenant. Secondly, confirmation. At verse 10 there, we read, and maybe we can get the verses back up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. At verse 10, Eliezer obeyed his servant. He set off with other servants and with 10 camels laden with goods, including jewelry for the bride-to-be. So the journey was about 500 miles. And I'm sure he would have gone 500 miles more. But it took 500 miles. It would have taken several weeks to complete. But finally, they arrived in the city of Nahor. Now, that could be a reference to Abram's brother Nahor, or it could be the name of the city itself. And they arrived at a well outside as the evening approached, the time when the women came to draw water, thus avoiding the heat of the day. And Abram would have prayed about this matter. And now the servant prayed for guidance. Verse 12, "O Lord God of my master Abram, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham." And then he set a fleece before the Lord. "Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your water jar that I may drink,' and who shall say back in return, drink and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. God's word says, before you call, I will answer. And that's what happened here. Before the servant had finished praying, verse 15, behold, in God's providence, Rebekah appeared. It just so happened that she was from the family of Abraham's brother Nahor. Although Eliezer the servant wouldn't discover this till later on. And it so happened that she was unmarried, a virgin, attractive in appearance. It so happened that after she had filled her water jar with water, she responded positively to the servant's request. Friends, only God could bring this to pass. It's all in God's providence and God's plan. There are no coincidences with God. And just speaking to the girls coming in who are deciding or have decided where they're going to further their education, which courses they're doing. I remember my own daughter, she was set on a certain course of journalism or whatever. And then at the last minute, she changed to teaching. By then, all the courses, all the places and the day visits and where you could go and find out about the courses and the places and the universities had gone, except Edinburgh University teaching had an open evening added on. And we just set our sat-nav and we went down. And it so happened that we parked in the exact same place where we parked the car when she was 5 days old and was going to Buccleuch Church for the first time. And I just looked at my wife and I said, this is where we parked when we came to church. And she remembered. And I said to Catherine, I think the Lord's in this. She got on that course. And yesterday she texted me saying she's finished her final dissertation. And folks, the stress of dissertations, some of you know. She's finished the course. And I think she'll be going to do her probation in Edinburgh. That was all of God's plan. God's purpose. Nothing happens by chance. And you know, the events unfolded according to Eliezer's prayer. And Rebekah's actions really revealed her kind nature. It revealed her willingness to serve. Not only did she give him something to drink, but she watered 10 camels as well. That would have taken a lot of time and effort. It was no small thing to draw and carry water for them all. And of course, hospitality required, and we see it in our own culture, required giving water and food to a thirsty stranger, but not to his animals. That was an extra. So she evidently was a hard worker, a servant, an ideal partner for Isaac. So this day, just think of what this day was like for Rebekah. It started like any other day, same old, same old. Watering the camels, doing her chores. But she had no idea, as Rebekah walked towards that well, that her life would change forever. That soon, in God's providence, she would meet her future husband. And she had no inkling that she would play the lead role in the greatest love story ever told. And friends, it so happens that you're here today. And it so happens that we're preaching from this today. This could be a life-changing day for you. You could be born again today because it's under the preaching of God's word and the providence of God's movements that we're all here today. Eliezer observed her, and her actions confirmed that she was the one appointed by the Lord. And that confirmation resulted in presenting to Rebekah a gold ring and heavy golden bracelets. And it was at this point, notice, that Eliezer inquired about her family. As we say to ourselves, who do you belong to? Who's your family? What's your slunyuk? And she said, well, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. And she offered them hospitality. This was further confirmation. Look, Rebekah belonged to the house of Nahor, Abraham's brother. His prayer had truly been answered at every single point. So he immediately bowed down to worship the Lord, praying, blessed, verse 27, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love, chesed, and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman. Now, friends, time and time again in this chapter, the word used for God's faithfulness, God's kindness, is this word chesed in the Hebrew. It speaks of God's covenant obligations. It speaks of his unfailing love. It speaks of his loving kindness. And God demonstrates his sovereign chesed by guiding the servant to the right place to ensure that his mission wouldn't fail. He had sent his angel before him. And friend, God's leading fulfills God's purposes. So why not bring your own situation to the Lord today? He knows your situation. As we were singing in Psalm 139, when you got up this morning, when you will lie down tonight, God willing, your thoughts, your words before you speak, he doesn't make mistakes. He knows your age. He numbers the hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. And he's the one that you need to look to and turn to. In the little things and in the big things, like entering into a marriage covenant, as we see here. So thirdly and finally then, we have commitment. Covenant, confirmation, commitment. Verse 28. Rebecca rushes to tell her husband and her brother Laban, having seen these precious gifts, returned with her, inviting the servant into the family home with the words, come in, O blessed of the Lord. So the whole company was offered hospitality. But Eliezer refused to eat until he had settled the matter. And he tells the whole story from verse 34 to 49. And he concludes with these words. Now if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Now, although Rebekah's father was Bethuel, and he's still living, the fact that Laban is mentioned first shows that he's taken over as head of the family. Bethuel's well up in years, maybe infirm, can't see that the Lord... But he too can see that the Lord is in all that is happening. So both father and son agree that Rebekah should become Isaac's wife. Behold, verse 51, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. So a second time, Abraham's servant bows down and worships the Lord. Again, expensive gifts are presented to Rebekah and her brother and her mother. And only when all that business is concluded did Eliezer accept the hospitality that was offered. And they ate and they drank and they spent the night there. And the next morning he's ready to go. He's eager to go and return to his master with Rebekah. But her mother and brother were not yet ready to part with her. Everything had happened so quickly. So they made a request. Verses 55 to 57. Let the young woman remain with us just a while. At least 10 days. As the song used to be, just stay a little bit longer. And after that she may go. But Eliezer was desperate to get on his way. Don't delay me, she says, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. So they chose to put the matter into Rebekah's hands, probably expecting her to delay the journey. Let us call the young woman and ask her. So think about it. And think about your own situation today. You know, tonight we're looking at Esau and how he despised his inheritance and his birthright. You have been blessed in how, where you've been born, how you've been brought up, that you've heard the gospel. But really, you need to respond to that gospel. Not your father's gospel or your mother's gospel or anyone else's gospel, conversion or salvation, but your own. You need to respond. And that's what was asked of Rebecca. It all hinged on Rebecca. Would she be willing? Would she be willing to give up her land, her father's house, as her great uncle had done back in Genesis 12? Was she willing to forsake all in obedience to God's call? Or would she choose to delay the process by remaining as long as possible with her family? Would she finally have to be torn away from them? Would she, could she, make the commitment required of her? And can you, my friend, today, make the commitment required of you? This is the way. Walk in it, says the Lord. Jesus Christ says, follow me. He says, today is the day of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. He promises you forgiveness of sin, resurrection of life, to eternal life, to be with him forever. He promises you a plan and a purpose. He gives you all that. But you have to respond like Rebecca had to respond to the question posed to her. And that question was, will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? And Rebecca didn't hesitate. Rebecca said, I will go. She accepted God's call in her life. She obeyed unconditionally, just as Abraham had done. And she was willing to forsake all that she had. Her father, her mother, her home, her friends, her relationships, and her relations were all to be left behind. And she was ready to go on a long and weary journey to be the bride of one she had never met. But soon she would see him face to face. Friends, Jesus asks you today to begin this journey of faith, or for others to continue on this journey of faith. And he promises that if you do, that you too will see him face to face. We will see him, and we will be like him. So Rebecca was asked to let go of everything to get Isaac, or keep what was familiar and lose Isaac. So it is with you. Keep what you know and lose salvation, or take Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added to you as well. Let go of everything, or let go of Jesus. There is no third way. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And Jesus says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Leave all else behind and follow me. Anyone who does not give up all and follow me is not worthy of me. So there should be no delay for this bride-to-be. They blessed Rebecca and said to her sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. Then she and her young women left with Abraham's servant. And friends, isn't this amazing? As she journeyed, as she made her way, Isaac was praying. Verse 62, now Isaac had returned to Beer Lahai Roy and was dwelling in the Negev, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw. And behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah's journey had been a long one, but now she too looked up. And Rebekah lifted her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to her servant, "Who is that man? Who's that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It's my master." And she took her veil and covered herself. A bride-to-be needed to veil herself in the presence of her future husband. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. He brought her into the tent of his mother. Rebekah would now care for Isaac as his mother had done, and she would love him and dote over him as his mother had done. But he would also love her and care for her. They would find love and security in each other, knowing that the Lord of God of Abraham had brought them together in the most amazing way. Jesus loves his bride. His bride is the church. The church is people like you and like me. And he loves us. And he came on that great journey from heaven to earth to die for your sin and mine. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And this story reminds us of God's love. God's love for Abraham. God's love for Isaac. God's covenantal love. The love of a husband for a wife. God's love for his church. His steadfast, unveiling, unfailing, unconditional love. And it reminds us of Christ's love for us, which cost him everything. And that's what we remembered last weekend. Yes, I must suffer. Yes, I must die. But yes, I must rise again. Will you go with this man? May your response be, "I will go." He'll be before you. He'll be behind you, beside you, above you, underneath you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He will never let you go. And he will bring you to the promised land, heaven itself. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this amazing story that is a true story. An account of your blessing and promises. You're working out the little things that bring big things to happen. And so it is with our own lives. Things that we can look back on that are part of the plan. Even the difficult things. Even the sadness. Even the suffering. But Lord, we all need to commit to Jesus today. For some, for the first time. For others, Lord, just to renew our commitment. And despite sadness and difficulties, despite a vacancy in a congregation, despite everything, Lord, you ask us to be faithful because you will provide. And you already provided the bridegroom for the bride, the church, Jesus Christ. May we love him because he first loved us and gave himself as a ransom for many. And we ask everything in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. So can we conclude by singing the traditional version of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
Down to life.
pray now for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to rest and remain with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.